Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
New Beginnings 2025. Every one of us see every year probably as a new beginning, but there's something uniquely different about 2025. This is not just a year with a new beginning. This is a year of new beginnings. And if you lean in with us this year, you are going to experience new beginnings all this year. But what that means is you've got to give up knowing how it's going to turn out. You got to give up control. And you've got to be willing to say to God, I am yours. This year is yours. Show me what you have for me. Show me what you have for me. About this time last year, I began a seminary class at Denver Seminary on the Gospel of John. And the class was on translating the Gospel of John from Greek, which is what it was written in, by the way, into English. And so along the way, guess what you're going to get this year? You're going to get some Greek. And as you get this funny little language, I just want you to know I'm not speaking in tongues, okay? I'm actually speaking in the language in which the Bible was recorded. And I think that that's going to be amazing for you. I think that's going to be amazing for us. As we unpack the Gospel of John, at different times, I'm going to read you, like today, I'm going to read you the text in the original language. And I'm not going to do that because I want you to think I'm smart, because I already know that I am. No, I'm just joking. I want you to experience the Bible as it was originally written. Before you get into, and by the way, God didn't speak English. You say, can he? Yes. But God spoke to people who recorded it in the Old Testament in Hebrew and in the New Testament in what's called Koine Greek, or the language of the common people. It was Jewish people who spoke Greek who recorded most of the Bible. So we are going to talk today about how to have new beginnings with Jesus. I want you to think about today as we go into this, how is God wanting to bring new beginnings in your life today? How do we have new beginnings with Jesus? And I'm going to begin today, I'm going to begin our new year reading in the Greek text, in translating to you. And this might be a shock to you. You might be like, I just thought God spoke English. And so now you're starting to understand that all English Bibles are translations of the original language, okay? So listen to these words in your program. John chapter 1, verse 1. In our ke ein halagas, kai halagas ein pros te theon, kai theos ein halagas. What in the world? In our ke, in the beginning, ein, was. In the beginning was, halagos, the word. This is how the Gospel of John begins. Kai halagos, and the word, ha, ein, was, pros, with, or from, ton theon, God. And kai, and, theos, God, was, somebody say it. The word, halagos. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with or from God, and the word, the logos, was God. I want you to understand that we're going to talk a lot today, similar to what we did yesterday, men. We're going to talk a lot today about the power of words. And I know that you know that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, what? Oh, they'll send me to hell. The most powerful force in the universe rests inside your mouth. It's your tongue. And from your tongue comes life and death. And you have the ability through every relationship in your life to speak life into people or to speak death into them. Now, the psalmist said to us yesterday, I would rather have the stripes of a righteous friend than the flattery of the evil. And so speaking life doesn't mean that you don't tell people what they need to hear, but you tell it to them for their own good, not because you're angry at them. So what beginning is being talked about in John chapter 1, verse 1? Well, we got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Because this phrase in the Greek goes all the way back to the Hebrew, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so what John is saying to us today is Jesus was back there in the beginning with the Father. And he was a part of the original creation of the universe. And I want you to think about this. God spoke. Power of the word. God spoke the world into existence. Can you imagine thinking to yourself, cup of coffee, oh, there it is. Ribeye steak, there it is. Do you understand the kind of power God has? God spoke you into existence. His word. So think about this. The Bible says that the word of God is living. So you are a living expression, a living word of God's creation. So when you read the Bible, it only stands to make sense that when you read the living word, you come alive as the living word of God. Because God spoke you into existence. Words are the most powerful tool in the universe. Words are the most powerful tool in the universe. If you get nothing else from this time today, I want you to leave recognizing in 2025, what comes out of my mouth is the most powerful thing I can do. What I speak out of myself is the most powerful thing I can do. Or, you ready? Or it can be the most destructive. It can be the most life-giving, or it can be the most destructive. Listen to James chapter 3, verse 1. By the way, this is Jesus' half-brother. Not many of you should become teachers. No? No. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Let me say it another way. The more you run your mouth for the kingdom of God, the more judgment you have to take upon yourself. Wow. Anything that comes out of my mouth, because I am a teacher for God, anything that comes out of my mouth is going to be judged by God Almighty, not just by you, but God Almighty is going to judge me with greater strictness because of the calling on my life. And I have to carry that burden, and I have to carry that weight, and I have to accept that every time I open my mouth. For we, the Bible says, we all stumble in many ways, don't we? And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So what James is saying is, if you can control that little thing inside your mouth, everything else is a piece of cake. Everything else is a piece of cake. If you can control your words, you can control the power of your whole body. During the holidays, Tasha and Journey Grace and I went to watch the movie Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in Germany who stood up to the tyranny of Hitler. And he stood and he spoke knowing that it could very well cost him his life. And on April 23rd, 1945, it did just that. Matter of fact, come this April, 4/23 of 2025, it'll be 80 years since Bonhoeffer went to be with the Lord. And by the way, we're still talking about it. His words were powerful because he spoke the word of God, and he stood for the word of God, and he stood for the truth of God. He's the one that made this statement. There's a book called The Cost of Discipleship. If you never read only one book on discipleship, that's the one. And in his quote, he says this, "Jesus, when he bids a man to come, he bids him to come and die." Now, the American church wants to bid you to come and dine, D-I-N-E. But God calls us to come and die. Die to ourselves. Die to the way we want it to be, trusting that God knows best, and that if we will trust Him, we will see in these new beginnings. The reason why God hasn't done what you've asked Him to do is because He knows your future and when you need it done best. So in this movie, Bonhoeffer, as a little boy, loved to play hide and seek. How many people liked to play hide and seek when you were a kid? I loved it. Yeah. And his mom said, because his older brother was chasing him, and she said, "If you'll eat this strawberry, you'll be invisible." So he ate it, and she motioned to the older brother to think him as invisible. And so they went along. And at the end of the movie, he says to one of Hitler's guards, "Can you get this journal to my mama? And can you tell her I couldn't find a strawberry, but my words did?" Wow. There are going to be circumstances in your life that are going to be devastating to you, maybe even fatal. But the words that you speak will live on forever. And ever and ever and ever in the hearts of those that you invest yourself in. Amen? Amen? And so here we have the words of Bonhoeffer in The Cost of Discipleship bidding us 80 years later, come and die. Do you know what Hitler did the week after? Or I'm sorry, 2 weeks after he had Bonhoeffer killed himself. Kind of curious, isn't it? Wasn't there a guy in the story of Jesus that had him killed? Does anybody remember what happened to him? Oh, you better be careful killing a righteous man or woman. God doesn't take kindly to it. God doesn't take kindly to it. He'll give you over to the demons that will destroy you completely, that will cause you to self-destruct yourself. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Even the Hitlers of the world, they can take your physical life, but they can never touch your soul. They can never touch your soul. And when you start living for something other than what you can see, your life will change drastically, miraculously. And all of a sudden, everything that used to matter to you, you ready? Won't matter to you as much. And all of a sudden, everything that you couldn't see that you'd never been a part of before is now more important to you. His words sweep our world today. I want you to look at this statement. The Word of God is the most powerful tool in the universe. Jesus is the Word. He is God in the flesh. Look at John chapter 1, verse 2. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So how do we enter into these new beginnings? Number one, you declare Jesus as Creator and God of your existence. You say, why is that important? Here's why it's important. If you don't know where you came from, what difference does it make where you're going? Huh? You know why I have this hoodie on today? Because this is where I'm from. This is my beginning. This is my beginning. This is where I began life, in Kentucky. But long before that, God had decided, I'm going to speak you into existence. Now, I want you to hear this. Even if you don't know who your parents are, it doesn't matter. Regardless of how you got here, God spoke you here. Do you understand that? You say, yeah, but I'm still confused. Okay, that's fine. We're all confused. So join the crowd. Join the party. But there's one thing we all can know in this room. No matter the details of our lives, we're all here now because God spoke us to be here now. This is our turn. This is our time. Don't wish it away. And the way that we don't wish it away is we go back and we declare Jesus. And maybe you've never done this in your life. Even if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe you've never done this. Say today, Jesus, you are my Creator, and God, you are my reason for existence. Number two, live knowing Jesus spoke you into existence. Live knowing Jesus spoke you into existence. You go, I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm so confused. I'm so lost. You know, I can't remember the last time I began a new year where I felt so lost. And during that fast that we did, it was just massive lostness that I felt inside of myself. It was confusing to me. And I was like, Lord, I just feel so lost in this moment. I don't know what in the world's going on. But I will tell you this, you spoke me into existence. I'm here because you want me here now. So I'm going to wait and see what you've got. I'm going to wait and see what you've got. That powerful word in which God spoke you into existence. I want you to think about this. If God can speak you into existence, don't you think He can speak to you about your purpose for existence? If God can speak you into existence, don't you think He can speak to you today about your purpose for existence today? Today. Look at Psalm 118, verse 6, and then NLT. I love these five words. The Lord is, somebody say it. He's for me. You go, I'm not sure. No, I am. I'm sure. He's sure. This is His living word. Speak it over you. So maybe you need to put this on an index card. Psalm 118, verse 6, and then NLT. Maybe you need to put it in your bathroom, right? Every morning when you get up, you know, and you brush your teeth, hopefully, you say, the Lord is for me. Huh, the Lord is for me. Okay, all right, the Lord is for me. And you take a shot, the Lord is for me. You eat your breakfast, the Lord is for me. Whatever you're, the Lord is for me. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who what? Somebody say it. Hate me. Psalm 119, verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember your promise to me. It's my only hope. Psalm 119:71, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees, God, your words. See, if you're going through suffering, God, I don't fully understand it, but here's what I do know. One of your purpose for all of the suffering of my life is for me to pay more attention to your words. Psalm 119, verse 89, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in the heavens. I don't have to worry. It's not going to change. It's not shifting. It's not moving away. It is consistent. Psalm 119, verse 14, your word is my source of hope. Your word is going to give me hope today. Psalm 119, 133, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. Otherwise, I will. Psalm 119, 147, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help. I put my hope in your, somebody say it, your words. It's not what I'm going to do, it's what you've already done. It's not what I'm going to say, it's what you've already said. I love that. Sometimes we try to get cute at church. God doesn't need us to be cute. He needs us to be honest and truthful and just speak what his word says. And it was so awesome again yesterday to watch Alexander just speak the truth and just sit there and go, that's it. That right there is it. You just speak the truth and people's lives are changed. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with his word. The more consistent, I want you to think about this. The more consistently you yield yourself to God's word, the more consistently you will reflect God's character and purpose in your life. You say, how? It'll just happen. I'm telling you, it'll just happen. The more you focus on his word in your life, the more your character will just change. And the more you'll focus on his purpose for your life. Now, why are Jesus' words so powerful? Look at John chapter 1, verse 4. And I want to read this in the Greek text again. In autu zoe. You ever heard of zoe, zoe? In autu zoe, ein kai, a zoe. Ein taphos, ton anthropon, kai tophos, in te scotia phene, kai a scotia auto, u katalaban, or katalaban. In auto. In him, zoe. You got to go to the verb, ein, which is before zoe. In him was. Somebody want to guess? Life. Zoe. Zoe. And the zoe and the life was the phos, the light of what? Of all humanity. Anthropon. And the phos and the light, what? Shined. Phaini. It's the last word, and then Greek is weird because it doesn't order itself like English does. But English is weird, by the way, if you care to know. And the light shines in the what? The scotia, the darkness. Well, what if I don't want it to? Does anyway. And the scotia and the darkness didn't what? Let me say it another way. The light of God shines and the darkness couldn't control it. Couldn't grasp it. Couldn't stop it. Isn't that cool? You say, so why read the Word of God? Because when I read it, it just shines into the dark places of my soul. What if I don't want it to? It will anyway. So if you want to change, you just read God's word, and the word of God will just shine on your heart. And you'll go, oh, that kind of hurts. Yes? You know what Alexander did yesterday? I've never seen anybody do publicly. He walked us through how to rebuke people properly. And I thought it was amazing how to rebuke people kindly, but truthfully. And the way he spoke it so graciously, I was like, wow, it's like riding a bicycle. He's been riding this bicycle for a while. And it was like poetry in motion. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. The light of Jesus can't be stopped by the darkness of our lives. And also the light of Jesus can't be stopped by the darkness of this world. No matter how dark or dim it seems. So wherever you go, you take light. So how do we enter into these new beginnings? Number three, you trust Jesus' light to defeat the darkness. You say something like this in the morning when you get up. Let's go, Lord. Let's go get some W's for Jesus. Let's go get some wins. I don't know what those wins are going to look like today, but we're going to go take some light to some very dark places. Look at verse 6. Now there was a man. What kind of man? Oh, he was sent from God. And by the way, his name was Ioannes. John. John was sent from God. You go, that's awesome. No, I don't think you understand the point. And so were you. And so are you. You say, well, I need something to remind me of that. Let's see, how about the sending? Oh, that's why we do that. At the end of this service, you're going to stand up and we're going to say together the declaration, send me and spend me. I give you my all. We are declaring ourselves a sent people every time we declare the sending. So how do we enter into new beginnings? Number four, see yourself sent by Jesus. See, Bonhoeffer saw himself sent by God. That's why he did what he did. You will become a different person when you start to see yourself sent by God. You will shock people around you, but I'll tell you who will be most shocked. You. I'll never forget as a 17-year-old battling whether I was going to give in to the calling to be a pastor. And my English teacher, I don't even know if she was a Christian or not, Miss Zimmerman, she looked at me and she said, one day you will stand in front of a camera and speak. Well, here I am. There's the camera. See, we're sent people. And some of us have people in our lives that see it more than we do. When are you going to start listening to those people? When are you going to start listening to the people that are speaking life over you? And you're like, no, I just deserve death. If you just knew what I had done. No, you don't know what he did. Because when you know what he did, you ready? It doesn't matter what you've done. That's the story of the gospel. That's the story of the gospel. So here I want you to say with me. You ready? I want you to say with me. I'll say it and then I want you to say it with me. Jesus, I am your sent one. You ready? Jesus, I am your sent one. Every day. Verse 7. He, John, came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. Now, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. You know what that makes us? Light reflectors. Light reflectors. Number five, declare yourself as Jesus, light reflector to others. declare yourself as Jesus' light reflector to others. 28 years ago, this month, we started the process of launching Vanguard, and we will celebrate 28 years as a church. The first weekend in March is when we started. And this little book that is now been a part of our church for 5 years, we published it in the 20th year of Vanguard's existence, called The Friend of Sinners, Taking Risks to Reach the Lost. There's copies of it out in the lobby. You go, I can't afford, just grab one. That's fine. No worries. I want you to know the story of what you're a part of, because this has been going on for 28 years. You know why reading the Bible is so important? Because what you're becoming a part of has been going on for thousands of years. Thousands of years. And this just tells the story of how we were light reflectors and how we stepped into relationship with people and how there are people that we're in relationship with now that don't have real relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was so amazing yesterday to be in that room and watch people bring people that may not have relationship with Jesus just yet. I think that's incredible. I think that's amazing. God has called us to be light reflectors. You say, why does life have to be so hard? Because we live in a dark world. That's why. We live in a dark world. But the darker the world, the more effective the light. Amen? The darker the world, the more effective the light. And so God has called all of us, by the way, to go into dark places. God has called us to go there, but as we were reminded yesterday by Alexander in the Epistle of James, taking the anger of our lives into the dark places where we're disappointed with people will not change or make the light more effective. It will dull the light. It will dull the light. And the reason why the enemy wants you to be offended is because he wants to dull your light. He wants to dull your light. And at some point, you have to say, greater is he that's in me, the light that's in me, than the darkness that's in the world. Ann said to me last week, Kelly, pray for the Taliban in Afghanistan who is hearing the word of God. Is that right? Did I say that right? God is working in the hearts of the leaders of the Taliban right now. The gospel is being heard by them right now. Isn't that amazing? God has called us in a myriad of ways to take the light to the world. And let me encourage you, if you will say to the Lord, I am your sent one. I am your sent one. You ready? Wherever you go, the light goes with you. And where the light goes, the darkness can't stop it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.